Good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome to our fast and testimony meeting this morning. It's quite an honorable day to be here under weather and early conditions, so I appreciate your faithfulness in attending today. As mentioned, it is our fast and testimony meeting, even though it's the second Sunday of the month, and this is the second month in a row we're doing that, and we're going to just extend that one more month. Next month, our Fast Sunday will also be at the second Sunday. So it's a three-month row trend. It'll be hard for us to break that. But we'll be pleased to hear from the two Broadbent boys, one returning and one leaving on a mission on the first Sunday in February. So you can mark your calendar that our Fast Sunday will again be moved 1 week. Would like to excuse Brother Roberts today, who had an all-night flight from New York, and so he's recuperating from that. And I think that's all the announcements I'll cover today. There are others in the program that you can note if you would like to. We will begin this meeting now by singing hymn number 52, "The Day Dawn is Breaking," following which the invocation will be offered by Brother Rod Sweeten.
Our dear Father in heaven, we come before thee this beautiful Sabbath morning. We're grateful to be together as a Ward family, and we ask that thou will bless those who are still traveling here, that they may travel safely and join us. We're grateful for the gospel and for the opportunities it brings in our lives and for the truths that we know. We ask that thou will be with all those this day who are participating in the various meetings, that they'll be guided and directed. We pray that thou will bless the missionaries in the mission field, especially those from our ward and those who are serving and those who are preparing to serve, that they will be uplifted and that they will have strength and courage. And we're grateful for our Bishop Brick and for all they do for us as a ward family. And these things we say in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Welcome again. Our numbers have about doubled since the opening hymn, so under treacherous travel conditions, appreciate all of you coming. And I'll mention again that today is our fast and testimony meeting, we appreciate your observance of that today and joining us for this meeting. I have a few items of business. First of all, we've received the following membership records and ask this person to stand as his name is called, Brother Jim Strang. All those who can accept him as a full a member in full fellowship, please indicate by the uplifted hand. Thank you. The following members have been released, and we propose they begin given a vote of thanks for their service. As Sunday School President, Chad Nelson, First Counselor Ron Wilkinson, Second Counselor Guy Horn, and Secretary James Walker. Those who wish to express their appreciation may manifest it by the uplifted hand. It is proposed the following be sustained and ask them to stand as their name is called. As Sunday School President, Mark Porrett, as First Counselor Robert Murdoch, and Second Counselor Graham Shaw. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Any opposed may also manifest it. Thank you. I'm privileged today to share a few words of testimony as we begin our testimony meeting and concluding my remarks, or following my remarks, you're invited to come forward and share your testimony. We always appreciate your introducing yourself and saying your name. It helps us here and those who are at home who listen to our meetings later to know who they're hearing from. So you're invited to do that. It is a wonderful new year. And one of the things that that I've been doing recently in preparation for this year's topic of study in the Doctrine and Covenants, I've been looking at some of the resources that the church has provided for us in electronic format, online and on our phones and on our computers. There is a lot of information there, and I commend that information to you. The Gospel Library app has a lot of information about the Doctrine and Covenants, and in fact, there's a book, a companion book to the Doctrine and Covenants that's published that you can only get there. You can't find it anywhere else. So some of you will have to maybe educate yourselves just a little bit and find that online to study the Doctrine and Covenants in the context of the historical time in which those revelations occurred. But, I've been reading, the other thing I've been reading on the Gospel Library app is the essays that the church has written on various topics. And I've known about them for a while. I've referred to them, but I haven't made it a diligent topic of study. But I've been reading through those recently, and they are very good. One of the things that prompted me to read them is I was studying online, and there were I ran across some criticism of the church. I ran across people who were writing things that were could shake a person's faith. Things about the founding of the church, things about Joseph Smith, and things about how the Book of Mormon was translated, and the Book of Abraham, and all of these things that kind of started bringing up questions in my mind. And these essays from the church have been very helpful in that. I was reading one this morning about the studies on DNA and a Native American population and the possible relationship with them and the Book of Mormon. And these essays were very helpful. But as I was coming across some of this material, I confess there was a part of me that just almost said out loud, but in my mind just said, oh, I wish this wouldn't have happened. I wish this element of the history of the church, or I wish this this seeming mistake wouldn't have occurred. And then I just was thinking to myself, and I thought, why did that happen? Why did that have to happen? And I had kind of a little personal epiphany. That I don't know if I can completely put into words, but it was meaningful for me. And it was something like a conversation with myself where I said, if, and I think I even thought to myself, if this is, in fact, the Lord's restored church, restored by a perfect Savior, then why are there these mistakes? Or why are there these flaws? And almost at the very moment that I said that to myself, I had this very comforting thought. And the thought was, well, Alan, if the Lord's church and its restoration has some flaws, then maybe there's hope for you. And it was very comforting to me. It really was. It made me think, there is hope for me, because I've got a long list of flaws, a long list of mistakes and regrets. And it was a comfort and a reminder to me about what the gospel of Jesus Christ is in fact all about, that it is about learning from our mistakes, making those mistakes, and depending upon the atonement of a Savior to make those mistakes right. I am so grateful for my Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his atonement. So thankful that I don't need to be perfect, and that because of a Savior, Jesus Christ, all will be well. All is going to be okay. I'm going to make it. And I'm extremely grateful for that knowledge and for that comfort. And I share that testimony with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Jim Strang. And I thought perchance I, if time permitted, should stand and bear my testimony. I used to live in the Provo-Orem area right after I first joined the church some 60 years ago, for 26 years, and then some time in California and a little bit of time back here with my employment with Phillips, N.V. Phillips out of Eindhoven. In finance department until they shut too many plants down, and I ended up with an early retirement. My wife at the time, Lorena, who has been deceased for 10 years now, and I decided it was time to go on a mission. We put in for our mission papers and went to Montreal for a year and a half. And they have winter there. But it is beautiful in the summer, like it is here. Following that, we thought it was, at the time, we had purchased a home in Arizona we were going to use for a retirement home. And that was very hot there. We were looking at 115 degrees in May. Thought it was too warm, but we ended up ultimately living in Arizona for 16 years. And after Lorena passed away, and I was alone for a while, I remarried, and the last 7 years have been in Texas. I know my Savior, Jesus Christ. I have a fervent testimony of the truthfulness of the gospel of Joseph Smith, of the Book of Mormon, and indeed I'm grateful for the Doctrine and Covenants that we have for our course of study in gospel doctrine. Sunday school this year. And I happen to have the student manual, Religion 324 and 325, that thinking back, I must have purchased that and had that for a course of study nearly 50 years ago. So that's been around for a while. And indeed, it is useful and it is helpful. And it helps to support an understanding of circumstances that surrounded the different sections of the Doctrine and Covenants, and helps us to know that they are true, that revelation has not ceased, and that our Savior is at the helm. I am grateful for my daughter Joni, who has lived in this Provo Orem area, I think all her life, and who I have the privilege of being able to be now just within a half a dozen blocks or so, and just happens to be in this ward. I witness to you that prayers are answered, that we have a loving Heavenly Father. And I bear this witness to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
By introduction, I'm Trina Smith, my husband, Stuart. And I moved into the ward last spring. And I know I might look like a new face for many of you. My husband and I were called about a year and a half ago to serve in a youth detention center on that branch. So we serve there on Sundays, but with the little switch of the schedule now, we're able to come to this little block of meeting, and we just like to come and kind of get to know the ward and the people a little bit better. And how grateful I am for being in a great place, and we're getting to slowly know one by one each one of you, and we're grateful for your friendship. My parents lived in this ward many, many years ago. My parents were Raynell and Mary Dale Pearson. They lived just on the bend of High Country Drive, and we came into this area a lot and loved it, and feel really honored to be able to be in their home now, and had the chance to kind of remodel it to be sort of our own here. I wanted to share my testimony about the sacrament hymn. I was really impressed with that. So thank you for those that choose that and feel inspired. For me, it was special because it reminds me of the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in doing the will of the Father, and how hard and difficult that was, and all that he went through in this life, he still chose always to have the Father's will first. And then the last verse is, it reminds us of what we should follow that example too, because so often we cling to the things that we think we have to do or have ownership of, when it's not, none of it's really ours. All of our gifts are given from God, and we need to turn back and give, and then constantly have that humility. God, what do you want me to do? Because sometimes we think we're just so smart and can figure everything out ourselves, and we do need to listen carefully. I'm grateful for Fast Sundays because there's a little more humility there, and I feel like it's a great time of teaching, so I'm grateful for this day. I'm thankful for this gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful that it is here upon the earth at this time, and know that each of us have great responsibility here in these latter days, and as we continue to teach our families of that responsibility that we have as well too. I'm thankful for the scriptures. They are my friend. And I'm thankful for the great spirit that comes from that and for the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is such a wonderful gift from our Heavenly Father. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Carolyn Buman. I, too, was thinking about the sacrament hymn. And one of my thoughts about thy will be done, and, you know, we often think about ourselves, but I thought of the Christ, and this could wasn't an easy thing for him to do, even though he was the Christ and our Savior and a God. This still wasn't. He asked if this cup could be taken from him. And so, as hard as it was for him, he still was willing to do what he needed to do for us. And sometimes as we have our own worries and problems and we think we can't do it, it's comforting to know that knowing the will of the Lord makes these things easier. If it's His will, then it's easier to have it happen. And I am grateful to the Lord, and I am grateful for the many blessings that I've been given, especially the gospel of Jesus Christ. I truly believe, I truly know, I understand that I don't know all, and I sometimes am weak and should do more. But I am grateful just to have the knowledge and to have grown up in a family where they believed. And so I too could have the great blessings of the gospel throughout my life and to be able to impart this to my family and to my good husband, who joined the church as a BYU student, has brought such happiness into our lives. To have the priesthood in my home and to have the opportunity to have a blessing by that priesthood often to give comfort is a great blessing, and I am so thankful for it. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hi, I'm Janita Anderson, and as the bishop was speaking and spoke about, you know, some of the technology pieces that we have, resources from the church, it reminded me of something that came across Instagram, the church's Instagram, and it's something that Steve passed along to me, and it really gave me pause, and I just loved the message and helped me to just kind of stop and think about, you know, life. And And in the spirit of what Carolyn shared, you know, when things get tough and there are these challenges and there are these problems and the pressures at work, at home, and, you know, things that are coming our way. And so I wanted to read it to you. Oh, dear, I lost it. hold on just a second. But I think those resources that we have, you know, are there to help us. And we're so technology oriented and we're so attached to our phones and our computers. And we really should think about those key places that really can help us and fill us on a daily basis, even to fuel us and keep us going. So if you'll give me just a moment, I will find it. Okay, I'm looking for LDS. There it is. Okay. So I want you to think about this, you know, just in your own life and how this applies to you. It says, we forget sometimes the power of small and simple things, and that lasting change happens little by little, day by day, try after try. We wish we could reach perfection in an instant, but we don't need to be perfect today. We simply need to, quote, try a little harder to be a little bit better. And that gives me hope. And I think that idea, again, of, you know, I have all these flaws. I have all these gaps in my life. And sometimes I make progress, and then I tend to slip back. And, you know, how do I do this? How do I keep moving forward? And I've always loved that scripture. It's by small and simple things that great things come to pass. Because sometimes I think what trips me up is I feel like I have to do something grand and I have to do something big. And that can be overwhelming. And so I think day by day, sometimes it's just inch by inch, I feel like in my life, that I make that progress and I get a little bit better. And I'm so grateful that in my life that I discovered the gospel, I discovered the church. Similar story to Brother Buman at BYU, and joined the church. And everything, I can honestly say, that everything good in my life has come from that. And I think, gosh, I don't know where I would be if I hadn't had that. And who knows? I can't speculate. Hopefully I still would have been a good person. Good things would have been happening in my life. But I think that that groundedness and that direction and that purpose and the sense of knowing who you are and where you can go that comes from the gospel is something that is often, you know, missing in people's lives, and I think would have been missing in my life. And I'm grateful for my family and for Stephen who helped me in that journey, and to have all these blessings in my life. And I also want to say one more thing about small and simple things. I had the honor of being in primary every week, and when I see these small people, and they really personify the small and simple things. And I remember when I was asked to serve in primary, at the time, Steve and I had been serving in the branch at the hospital, and we'd barely been there 8 months, and it was something we really loved and enjoyed, and it was kind of like the thing that everybody wants to get the chance to go serve in the hospital branch, and it was like winning the lottery, and we got to go do that. And so when I got asked to serve in the primary, I thought, well, wait a minute, we've got this plum job, if you will, serving at the hospital, and it hasn't even been a year, it'd been about 8 months, and yet this impression came to me that I need to do this. I need to be in primary, and it wasn't because, oh, the primary kids need me. It was because I needed the primary kids. I needed these little children, these little spirits in my life. To learn from and to feel of their spirit. And I have been so grateful to serve there and to feel that from them. And I'm amazed at how they can feel the spirit at such a tender age. And during Christmas, I had the opportunity to do sharing time, and I showed one of the church's beautiful media productions about the nativity and the birth of Christ. And I watched, we all watched their response and their reaction, and there was such a spirit in their response to the story. The little ones, they were just captivated. And some of them said, can we watch that again? And some of them said, I want to cry. And they were feeling something deep in their heart. And it just was amazing to me. That, you know, they can feel the Spirit and impart the Spirit and have that sense of testimony and start growing their testimony. So just wanted to share that with you. Listen, we need to listen to our children. We need to stop and listen to them and watch them and learn from them. There's so much to learn from them. And I'm very grateful that I get to do that with your sweet little kids. And I appreciate the homes that they're growing up in and what you impart to them and the love that I can see and feel in their hearts and see, hear in their little voices and see in their eyes. And again, I'm grateful for the small and simple things and for those of you who share your testimony. And I've learned so much from so many of you over time from your kindness and your love and your example. And I'm grateful to be a member here, grateful to be part of this ward, and grateful to be part of the gospel. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Heidi Waite. We've been in the ward about 15 years. it's easier for me to stand and walk these days. The last few months, I've had quite a few challenges, mentally, physically, everything just seemed to like crowd down on me. And I just have a testimony so much of this church and all of you for doing your callings. I was relieved from some of the duties that I have in my callings because of some of the things that were happening in my life. And I know that some of you had to step up and take over. And I'm sorry that I added more burden to you. I just appreciate it so much that you pick up things that I should be doing and that you did it for me. And I would just like to say that. And I am so grateful for our prophet. And I'm so grateful for the scriptures. And I'm grateful for the electronic ones, too. I've been walking a lot of nights and just playing my scriptures from my phone to my ears. And last night I was walking around. I've made like a little track in my house to walk around. And I was listening to one section. I can't remember which one it was, but they're just talking about these little small and seemingly unimportant things. I'm in the Doctrine and Covenants right now. And yet then it just came to me, we had to have things laid out exactly how it should be done so that it would be organized. And so that if somebody like me has a problem, somebody else can come in and take over because they had it laid out, organized, and everybody knows what they need to do. But anyway, I'm so thankful for prayers that I've had and blessings, and I'm so grateful for that. And I'm grateful for our bishopric and all the burdens and things that they carry also. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning. My name is Tammy Hill, and I'd like to share with you some of the feelings I'm having in my heart. And first of all, I'm so grateful for this morning schedule. I love coming to church in the morning, and instead of kind of waiting all day for it to happen, so I'm grateful for 9 o'clock. I'm also grateful for the opportunity we have to fast, and was reflecting the feelings I'm having as I fast today, the happiness that I feel and the increase of devotion I experience towards my Heavenly Father and towards each one of you. And I know that we can be blessed when we truly devote ourselves in our fasting. When my 15, 16 years ago, when my husband Mark passed away, I was looking for some way to get comfort, and as a verse in Helaman chapter 3, verse 31, I think, says that the people at that time, the Nephite people, would gain a lot of consolation and joy through fasting. And as I read that, I thought, well, I need consolation and I need joy. And I know I can fast. And that is when I gained the powerful testimony of the law of the fast, that we can be comforted, that we can feel joy. And for me, fasting has become rejoicing. I'm grateful for a new year to start again and try harder to be a little bit better. I am also grateful for the small and simple things that we can do each day that bring about true miracles in time. I witnessed those miracles in my life, and I'm so thankful. I know that our Father in heaven lives. I know that His Son lives, and pray that I might always stand as a witness of them and express my love for my family, for Jeff, and the happiness he's brought to my life. And for each of you in this ward, how grateful I am for Bishop Misbach and how inspired he is in my family's lives. What an answer to prayer he has been. Again, I leave with you my testimony and my love and say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Joseph Smith is a prophet for seeing Jesus Christ and Heavenly Father. That's what I'm bearing my testimony about in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I hope I can get through this. I've got so many things in my head, I don't know where to begin. One thing I would like to say is I would like to disagree with the last couple of sisters that have spoken, and that, you know, they talked about how they have weaknesses and they have problems and things like that. And I think, from my point of view, they're all like Mary Poppins, practically perfect in every way. I look at the people in this ward, and they're just amazing. We have such amazing strengths. The bishop talked a little bit about, you know, people that are apostatizing and people that are struggling and blah, blah, blah. I have a buddy of mine. I've had several friends who have left the church, one because of sexual orientation, one and two because of, quote unquote, hidden history. And working in a library like I do and in a Mormon community like I do, there is so much out there that is supportive of the church and supportive of growth of testimony if you just latch onto it. And in my one friend in particular, his name is Tony, he refuses to recognize the blessings in his life that are the result of Mormonism. He only sees the problems, the little errors, the human factors that have impacted him. There's no doubt about it. But he concentrates on those things and totally ignores the wonderful things that he still holds in his heart, but he doesn't recognize their source and the truthfulness of that source. Quite often when people go astray, it's because they turn the scientific method on its head. Instead of gathering up information, gathering up ideas and truths and formulating a thesis from those, they just get an idea in their head and then go out searching for issues and ideas that support the idea that they already have. And excuse me, that's bass ackwards. It doesn't work. It doesn't make any sense. And I shouldn't have said that, I apologize. But from the Lord's point of view, he wants us to latch on the blessings and the good things and the wonderful things that the gospel provides. An example of this, I work in the map collection at BYU, and we have this gentleman who comes into the library. He has a certain Book of Mormon geography point of view that he has latched onto, and then he goes out searching for geographical data and things that support his point of view instead of doing it the other way around. Knowing that I'm from what his Book of Mormon geography view is a Great Lakes centered view, and knowing that I was from Western New York, he would always tap my brain and saying, hey, you know, what do you think of this? And I'd tell him what I thought, and he didn't agree because it didn't support his worldview. One day he came to me all excited. He was sure that he found a proof that the Book of Mormon, that the Great Lakes theory of the Book of Mormon geography was true, because you know how in the Book of Mormon they built a line of fortifications across the narrow neck of land, protecting themselves from the Lamanites and invasions from the north. And he found out that in Western New York, there was, at one time, a line of fortifications that ran along Route 104 from the Niagara River east to the rest of the state. And he came to me all excited that this was his proof that his Book of Mormon geography theory was true. And I sort of sat back in my chair and folded my arms and smiled, and I said, actually, no, that's not the case at all. What this was is along this one road, there were the Woodland Indians built a series of rock fortifications, one day's walking distance from each other along this ancient trail. And these were basically little Motel Sixes, every day's walk along this trail so that the Indians could trade with the Algonquin Indians or the Algonquin Indians downstate and then the, not the Algonquins, doesn't matter. But you get my point. He had this idea in his head and then went out looking for proofs to support his idea instead of taking things that were, gathering data and then developing a new thesis. I'm sorry, I'm rambling. From my limited research, there is nothing in church history that cannot be answered to one degree to another, from one degree to another. And the divinity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in spite of the weaknesses of its people, is what's miraculous to me. I really love you all, and I appreciate your willingness to put up with my idiosyncrasies, and know that the gospel is true. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Hi there, my name is Lyle Sperry, and for those of you wondering why church is so quiet today, it's because my daughter is sick. So, I was sitting there listening to Bishop's comments, and I have had these thoughts as well of why people are so inclined to attack us rather than come and learn. And it's pride. The only thing I can think of is it's pride. I totally agree full-heartedly with Brother Grapes. The idea that you have to attack somebody else for you to be right is wrong. The idea that we have to be correct is wrong. We have to be wrong in order to be right, and I'll explain this in due time. What I mean by that is there's two ways to look at things. There's a way of grasping hold of an idea and then gathering other ideas together and then making a hypothesis and then running with that. If you create an idea and you try to gather enough information to make that idea correct 100%, it is wrong. You are wrong. You will always be wrong. I don't know how to explain it to you any other way than that. You are not taking other people's input and other people's knowledge and applying it to something that you know to be correct overall. I had a problem with this many, many years ago. I thought I was correct and thought I was doing everything to the best of my capabilities, and it cost me my first marriage. It cost me my first marriage because I didn't understand why the other person on the other side wasn't feeling the way that I was. It's because I was gathering all the information to make my point of view correct. It wasn't making our point of view as a total correct. And that's why I try so hard with Janet and my kids to be something more, is because I have learned in a very short period of time. I'm 31 now. In May, I'll be 32. I grasped a hold of this concept within the last 4 or 5 years of always making everybody around you correct. If you can make everybody's idea, everybody else's feelings, everybody else's way of living correct, you're doing your part to become the solution to making it correct. And I wish that I could teach this to everybody in the world. I wish I could stand on a podium and say, this is what we're supposed to be doing. You don't understand that when you decide to put pride into it, you tear the world apart. That's why Black Lives Matter is not working. That's why our government system is falling apart, is because their point of view is correct. It's not a unified. We're not fighting together. We're fighting for us to be better. A perfect example to this for me is Max Collier, a guy that used to live in this ward, and really, honestly, I don't know how he did it, but he did it. Recently, he is remarried. He just got married again. And if anybody had any reason to leave the church and be upset and angry at the Lord and just full on mad at everything that happened in his life in the short period of time, it was Max Collier. By far and away, that guy deserved to be mad at everybody around him, because the things that he went through, the emotions, the roller coaster, the losing of his kids, the complete devastation that he felt within a short period of time, and the amount of love that he had for the Lord. Sorry, I'm gonna get a little emotional here. He made the rest of us better because he was struggling. And that was amazing to me to watch him do that. He applied everything that he knew to help the rest of us understand that he knew it was right. And I got an invitation the other day from him for a wedding, and I just looked at it and I stared at it and I was just awestruck at how somebody could feel so much love for the Lord that he stayed true to his cause. And it amazed me because it made me better. And the whole time going through this with him, it made me better. And I apply this to everybody around me now, and it's amazing how much better they act towards me. Now, I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I've got flaws. But if you truly sit down and you gather everybody's input together and you mold it into the Play-Doh of everybody else around you, you become better. It becomes like second nature. You get to live a truthfulness of this gospel that nobody else understands. But if you try to make one idea and you become proud and you make the one idea try to be right, you will be wrong. You will be wrong every time. And I don't mean to preach. I just know it's true. I know this gospel is true. I know that if we all become one unified unit, we will become like God wanted us to become. I know this gospel is true, and I know the prophet is right. I know he guides us every day with the insight of God's will. I love you all, and I want to make you all better somehow. So please understand that that's what we're here for. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Arthur Boyajian, and this beginning of New Year, I want to wish you all a happy New Year and a prosperous and healthy New Year's. And I'll be ungrateful if I didn't stand up today to thank my Father in Heaven for the many blessings that He bestowed upon me and my family. You know, sometimes when you have a tribulation in your life, Satan is attacking left and right. But it doesn't work with me, because I got this little flame in my heart that tells me that don't worry, everything gonna be okay. I enjoy all the testimony today, but the greatest testimony that I heard so far was from young Brother Holloway. And the Spirit told me that time that he's gonna be a great missionary, this young man. You know, sometime in life, people, they find small thing against the church. But you know, when those people think that small, in my mind, if I'm thinking they have a small brain. It's got nothing inside. When they walk, you hear clink, 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 all the bolts loose in their head. Anyway, I'm not trying to make fun of anyone, but know this, that the gospel is true. We have a prophet, the head of the church. Regardless of all the attack we're gonna get, remember you have this small flame inside your heart telling you that this is true. Sometimes people, they say, well, no, the church, I don't know, this and that. Because they want to find an excuse to get out of this wonderful church. I remember one time that I love missionary work, you know. And we were teaching this young man for about an hour, and we getting nowhere. And then at the end, I said to him, I said, is your church have apostles and prophets? No, he said. Then we have nothing else to say to each other, and we left. Another time we were splitting with a full-time missionary, maybe I told the story before, and we stopped by this house, and this man said to me, we were talking about gospel and all that, and he asked us, who's your leader in this part of the vineyard? And I asked him with a question, I said, who's your leader? And he said, pastor, so he gave me a name, you know. And then he asked me, he said, who's your leader? I said, Christ himself is my leader in this part of the country, I said. And then after talking a little bit, he said, well, let's have a word of prayer. I said, okay. So he bowed his head down and it gibberish, you know, speaking in tongue, you couldn't understand nothing. I mean, nothing. And then he said, now it's your turn to pray. I said, okay. I bowed my head down and started praying in French. And my companion, we were splitting with full-time elder. I can see laughing his head off. And I mean, it's missionary work is great, I'm telling you. And like the song said, you know, after many tribulation comes the blessings. And then in the hymn book, it was a song that is dear to my heart when it says, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. This is a great song. I know the gospel is true regardless, you know. You lose your priesthood, you lost everything. Everything in this world, it's been lost, it's gone, goodbye. So admonish each one of us, including myself, to hold on to the iron rod and endure to the end. because the reward is tremendous, tremendous. The thing of this world is nothing, nothing. You got nothing. But the gospel, you hold the priesthood of God, you got something in your hand that you can taste it. I love you, brothers and sisters, from the bottom of my heart. I know this is true. And I live this testimony with you. And I do so humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, brothers and sisters, for the expressions of faith that have benefited all of us. We will close this meeting now by singing hymn number 97, Lead Kindly Light, following which the benediction will be offered by Sister Michelle Townsend.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful we had the opportunity today to come to Sacrament Meeting and take the sacrament and renew our covenants with Thee. Please help us this week to be thankful for our trials and be thankful for the struggles that allow us to be better as a person. Please help us through the week to feel Thy Spirit and follow Thy example. And we're so very thankful for all of the tender mercies in our lives. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.